CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is the day we get together each and every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church, and again, is it the traditions of men or is it actually the Word of God? And so that's what we like to look at, and we have our lines open. You're welcome to call 8888-ASK-CSN. We got a couple lines open, so if you call right now, you're sure to get on today. Joining me today, special guest and friend, we have with us Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, about 12 miles. And if you're on the east side of the Big Island of Hawaii, I know Joe would love to see you there. Hi and welcome, Joe.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Great to be on the show with you today. And I always look forward to this time. We get to dig into God's Word together, that we get to hear from our different listeners and callers and just some of the questions they have. And so great to be with you, Pastor Mike.
You know, this Sunday, Joe, your mom shared her testimony in church with you interviewing her. And, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, oh, women don't have a right to say anything in church. Well, let me just tell you, I got to tell you, I was most blessed by your mom's testimony to see how God transformed her life from what she was to what she is now. Yeah. And what a great day Mother's Day is when not only, first of all, you still have your mom, but your mom is able to share that there was hope for me, there's hope for you. And I was really blessed by just her honesty because, you know, a lot of the things in our past are not, you know, very shiny bright. And and she was very candid with everyone as you shared this. But I think the ultimate part of your mom sharing and the question you asked your mom was, what do I do as a mom if my kids are not walking with the Lord? And I just appreciated your mom's answer so much. Just keep praying for her.
Yes.
Joe, it was a blessing.
Yeah, and just so great to hear her share, you know, her testimony, her struggle with drugs and addiction and God bringing her out of that. And, you know, we all have a past, whether we're a successful businessman that gets saved or even a past of crime and addiction. God still does the same work in all of us. And I think it's powerful when we're able to share that with others. You know, I think of the story of Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. And he says, get up, stand up to your feet. And then after he stands up, then he says, and then pick up your mat and walk. And so he's walking with his mat, but his mat, in a sense, was kind of his testimony that I used to have to lay on this mat. I used to be lame, but now that which carried me, I now carry. And I think it's powerful when we can show people, this is where I used to be. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. We're able to connect with people in a powerful way where they say, man, if God did it for them, maybe there's hope for me. And so I think we should always be willing to do that and share what God has brought us from.
Amen. I think it's so important. And so anyhow, if you're in the, again, east side of the Big Island, I know Joe would love to see you. Joe, tell us your service times.
Yeah, so we have service at 8 and 10. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. This Sunday, we're going to look at Ephesians 4. And there's just so much in that chapter. We're going to dig into God's word. And so we'd love to have you.
You know, it's it really tells us who we are in Christ. I think it's so important because, you know, if you don't know who you are, the world will try to tell you. And I think that's really interesting. You know, years ago, back in the mid-70s, there was a band called The Who, and they wrote a song called Who Are You? And I think it was really interesting because that question, I think everybody really needs to ask, who really are you? Are you what you own or what you think of yourself? Mm-hmm. or who you really are. They say, you know, when two people get married, there's really six people living in the home. You see, when two people get married, there's the person you really are and the person she really is. The next couple of people is who she thinks you are and who you think she is. And then the reality of it all is, you know, and again, I think that when we look at who we really are, you know, and versus who somebody thinks we are, I think that's really important. So who you think you are, who she thinks she is, who you think she is, and who you think you are, and of course, each other's viewpoint of that, these six times come together. And boy, I'll tell you, without the Lord being the referee, sometimes it's, it's an ongoing thing. Well, to the phones we go. Cheryl's on the line in Texas. Hi and welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for talking with me this afternoon, pastors.
How may we?
I have two quick questions. I think they're quick. The first is in 2 Samuel 18, where David's sending his soldiers out to get Absalom, and he specifically tells them not to hurt him. And then Joab just spears him, I think it says, three times.
Yep.
And it never talks about it, or did David know? And again, quite often what the scripture doesn't tell us is as interesting as what it does. But I just wondered about that. It never addresses if David knew it or...
Well, I think David had an endearing love for his family. I think David blamed himself on a lot of the poor decisions when his kids were growing up. And I think David always tried to some way compensate for that. So when you look at some of the things that concerning rape in his family, and David really didn't do anything. And I believe this is probably a deep-rooted anger that I think Absalom had towards his father. And then when he led the rebellion, I believe the reason Joab killed him was probably several reasons. Number one, Absalom led and was leading a pretty forceful rebellion against King David. David had to flee Jerusalem for his life. And so I think Joab knew that Absalom being around could continue the civil war on, in which no soldier wants to continue to fight. So that may be in part of it. Number two, by law, biblical law, that rebellion that he did was worthy of death. You know, there's a lot of... you know, there's a lot of reasons I believe why, but I think politically he tried to prevent a civil war, and Absalom trying to make a comeback. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, one thing that's interesting about the life of David, he's anointed king long before he ever becomes king, and so as he's anointed, Saul is still king. And yet what you see in David's life is that he still honors Saul as king, even though God had rejected him. And even though Saul wasn't living in a way that was honoring, he still honored him. In fact, there's even the story where David had the chance to take Saul's life and could have been crowned king right there, but he didn't. And so you see this honor David had for that position as king. With his son Absalom, there is no honor. You know, he's going behind his dad's back, stirring up trouble and gossiping and causing this uproar against his father. And so there's a tension right there between a son and a father. And yet, because it's David's son, he still has this grace and mercy towards him. He says, you know, if you get my son to deal gently with him, is what commands were given from David. But then Joab comes and he completely ignores David's order. You know, one thing about Joab is that first and foremost, he was a military commander. That was his position. And so in his mind, he's just thinking of war. And even as Pastor Mike said, he's trying to prevent a civil war that's about to take place in God's kingdom. And so he probably thought, you know, if we spare his life and if we leave him alive, all his followers and this uproar that he started is going to continue. And so, of course, Absalom is riding a horse. His hair gets caught in the tree, and there he drives the spear through them. I think his mind was he was trying to start an uproar that he didn't want to see. And then, of course, after this, the scripture goes on to say that David mourns over his son, Absalom. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, and, you know, Joab was also harmed by Absalom as well. He did property damage and, again, threatened Joab's standing in the military. I think that Joab really felt that he had David's best interests at heart. However, you know, this is not what David said to do, and I think that's a problem. Now, something interesting a lot of people miss about Absalom, Absalom is a type of rebellion. He's a type of sin. Hung on a tree and pierced not with swords, but with three darts in the heart. I think it's interesting. Jesus was pierced in three places, his hands and his feet, when he was crucified. Of course, the spear that was thrown into him was after Jesus had already died. But Absalom is that picture type of rebellion, and that the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And so you find by an unusual thing, his hair gets wrapped up in a tree branch as he's riding on a horse. The horse pulls out from under him, and there he is hanging in a tree by his hair, and Absalom pierces him, and curiously, with three darts. Things that make you go, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you really have testimony of me. Jesus said, "You, this is where I'm found." And so when we really look up close at scripture, you will find Christ all the way through the Bible, a picture type of his death, a picture type of his life, what he does for us, all these different things are there. Cheryl, I hope that helps.
It does. And real quickly then, on in 2 Samuel 24, and it talks about God inciting David to do a census and then getting mad at him about it and punishing him about it. But then in the First Chronicles telling of that, it says Satan incited him.
Translation. No, it isn't. But that's a good observation, dear. If you look at the first one, it says, and he moved on David to number Israel. But it doesn't say it was God. And this is a mistake that people make. They automatically believe that that was God. He, I believe, was referencing Satan. And so, your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and then the problem with the census, too, is it wasn't done just the number of the people, know how many people, but it was done out of a prideful reason. Look at how big my kingdom is. Look how great a king I am. And this is what, you know, angered the Lord with David taking the census. But yeah, I'm not sure the Hebrew word there, but I think it is translated as he. And then in Chronicles, of course, it's the enemy inciting David to do this. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, and you've got to be careful on some of these new versions because they automatically add God or whatever where God is not in the original. And this is why, again, go back and look at that in the old King James and you'll see that he is... It doesn't say it was God. Hope that helps.
Okay, yes, it does. Thank you very much.
God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. And stay online if you like, sending everybody a little bit called Time to Grow Today. The call's in, and one of those is for you if you'd like. Let's go to Connie, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a question at Philippians 4:13. If you could clarify this verse for me. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I know Paul has said this. However, I know it's misused. Can we really do everything?
Oh, yeah, we can rob banks and pillage towns and blow up bridges and shoot people we don't like because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. This is the danger, and this is exactly, Connie, how cults are started. They take a verse out of context and build an entire theology upon it, misquoting other scriptures to back up that idea. When we look at this verse in context in Philippians chapter 4, it's very clear that when we are involved doing God's will, when we are involved doing God's purpose, we can ask and God will give it to us. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me concerning the kingdom of God. The context is as important as the verse we're looking at. In other words, the verses around it are just as important as the verse we're looking at. And unfortunately today, this is how the cults run rampant. The Mormon church will say, oh, look, baptism for the dead is in the Bible, so that's why we do it. Never really looking at the context. Paul is addressing a church, the Corinthian church, that was doing all kinds of very, very crazy stuff in the name of God. Changing communion into a drunken party, abuses of the Holy Spirit in chapters 12 and 14 that he addresses. And when we get to baptism for the dead, he's saying, basically, if you don't believe in life after death, here it is, then why are you baptizing for the dead? He doesn't say you should be baptizing for the dead. He asks the same question that I ask, that every person I believe within the Mormon church and anywhere else should ask. Why are you doing this? Because it's not in the Bible as prescribed for believers. It's not even found in the Book of Mormon, by the way. This is something that they've added. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying I was raised in a church that as I really began to study the Bible, I realized their doctrine was faulty. Now, because of that, I had to make a decision. Am I going to continue in the teaching of men, or am I going to follow God's word? Now, the idea of baptizing for the dead, very quickly here, a little caveat, is that there's some kind of a second chance. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. There is no second chances. There is no purgatory if you're a Catholic. It's not in the Bible. This is made up stuff. And so we have to understand, am I going to follow God's word? Or am I going to follow the traditions of men? And so I believe this is why we have to understand context is everything. And when it says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that is true when, and especially when we're empowered by God to be about our Father's business. Now, I want to extend this just a little bit. Oh, I'm so tired of my kids. I can't take it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yeah. I believe that verse would apply here because, yeah, as the Bible says, we are to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. So we are following then what that is. But to say that I can go out and sin, or I can, you know, the Bible says that adulterers and fornicators and homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, so it's still okay. No, it's not. You're out of context. And so that's why I believe we have to go back to that. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, it's a great question, Connie. And this is a thing that often happens in Christianity is we'll pick a few verses and just quote that verse and lose the context in that. And so, of course, with context, you want to read the verses before, the verses after, understand who's writing and who they're writing to. And so here Paul is in Philippians. He's writing from prison to these different believers, and he's talking about, in life, I've learned the secret of contentment, he says. He says, in my life, I've had abundance and I've had a lot. But then he says, also in my life, I've suffered and had nothing at all and have felt hungry. And then he says, but here's the secret, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so the all things here is speaking about no matter what situation I'm in life, whether life is good, I rejoice and I thank God for that. But even when life is difficult and I lack and there's hardship in my life, even during those times, God can give me the strength to endure hardship. You know, we think of blessing as not having hardship in our life, but the reality is God uses hardship to create us and develop character. And sometimes the blessing is actually the hardship, and he gives us strength to endure those things. You know, some other verses that people misquote is, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, whatever I want, God's got to give me. But again, context. When I delight myself in the Lord, all of a sudden my desires change. And now it's no longer about building my kingdom, but it's all about his kingdom. And then he gives me the desires of my heart. Even in Jeremiah 29:11, we love to quote this one where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we quote that and we say that. But as God is giving this to the prophet for Israel, right after this, God allows Israel to go into captivity by Babylon. And so it makes you go, God's view of prosperity and doing all things and him giving the desires of our heart is different than our human view. And so it's so important to know that. Because here's the other thing that will happen. If I can do all things in Christ and I'm trying to do something and it doesn't work out, well, then is Christ not in my life? If he has plans to prosper me and yet I'm struggling and having a hard time financially, does that mean that my faith isn't real and God's not in my life? No, his picture of success and prosperity is different than ours. And in every situation and circumstance in life, he'll give us the strength to endure. And so we can do all things. And here's the key, through Christ. In other words, this isn't my own strength. This isn't my own desires. This isn't my own dreams and passions, but it's Christ's plan for me, and he'll give me the strength to accomplish what he's planned for me. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And I hope that answers it for you, Connie.
That certainly clears it up for me and gave me a different viewpoint as well. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Connie, God bless you, dear. And if you like, stay in line. We'll get that out to you. And let's go to Daniel in California. Hi, welcome.
Hello there. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Well, the first thing is a prayer request. I've been sick for 28 years. It's been grievous. And they finally figured out what the problem was. But yeah, I just need a prayer for healing. It's been 28 years, real tough, eating the same thing every day and having a wrecked gut, but it would really help if you could pray for me on that. And also, I do have a question on Revelation.
Yes.
I do believe the book is in order, but yes. I'm wondering, well into the tribulation in chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, behold, I come like a thief. And I'm just wondering why he busts in at that moment when we're well into the tribulation.
Well, you've just went through the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. The seventh bowl is really the announcement that it's completed, that it's done. So the end of the sixth bowl judgment is really the end of God pouring his wrath on the earth. And I think this is really important. I believe this verse is a reminder to be ready when Jesus comes to miss all these things that are about to come on the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall try the earth. So I look at this very much as a warning, as a heads up. Hey, here we're at the very end. Jesus now, the seventh bowl judgment, is coming back to the earth. It's completed, and this is a reminder, hey, it's better to go in the rapture, it's better to go when God takes his church, than it is to go through the hell that this world is going to go through. The Bible says nothing has ever been this bad on earth, nothing will ever be this bad again on the planet. Now, you look at the carnage of the Second World War, Adolf Hitler, you look at the carnage of the Assyrian Empire, the cruelty that they were. You look at the plagues, you look at the bubonic, all those things that happened in the Middle Ages. They pale compared to what's coming on this earth. And so I believe this verse very clearly is a warning, not a prophetical utterance at this moment, but rather it's a reminder to be ready when he comes, because this is what Jesus said, and to escape all these things that are to come on the earth. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. It's almost like the Lord is laying out, look, here's all the judgment and pain that's going to come in the tribulation. And so one time more, let me remind you that I'm going to come like a thief in the night. Be ready. And the reason I also believe and agree with that too is because we see this same language when he talks about the rapture in Matthew chapter 24, when he says to be watchful, be ready. He uses the same imagery of a thief coming. And then there'll be two on a hill. One is gone and the other is left remaining. So the same wording, a thief, is used there. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says the day of the Lord comes like a thief. This is right after he's talked about the dead in Christ being caught up first and then the church going up to heaven, which is the rapture that we see again. And the idea of a thief is that a thief takes what's valuable. And so, of course, it's a picture of Christ returning for his church first before he comes back to bring judgment on earth. And so I actually believe that this is just, again, another reminder that we have to be watchful and ready for the Lord's return. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, it says in Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare upon all those who dwell on the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things and that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Hope that answers it. Coming up on a break, and we'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $8 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Part two of To Every Man an Answer with Joe Jackson. He's the senior pastor of Sure Foundation Fellowship, Keao, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, Hawaii, on Highway 130 on your way to Kalapana. And anyway, it's the church on the right-hand side with the white picket fence between Kaholi and Paradise Drive. And this Sunday morning, 8 and 10. I think you'll really be blessed as he goes expositorily through the book of Ephesians on who are you? Yeah. I had to do that. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go back to the phones. We had Daniel on the line. And Daniel, context is everything. And again, when we look at one verse, as you're mentioning there in Revelation 16:15, where Jesus is telling everybody that he's going to come, I believe we have to look at the other verses as well and then look in light of the context. This is at the very end. The devastation on this earth is catastrophic. Matthew chapter 24 says, unless those days were shortened, there would be no one left alive. That's how bad it's going to be. And so I believe Jesus just adds this in there saying, hey, be ready. You don't know what hour I'm going to come. The Bible clearly says that his church is not appointed to his wrath. All the stuff we see going on in the world right now, yeah, that's the hand of the devil. But the what makes the tribulation different is that is metered out by God, not by the devil. Completely different. Hope that helps, Daniel.
Yes, and the main reason I called was for prayer. I've been sick 28 years, and I desperately need healing because I like to tell people about Jesus everywhere I go. I believe I'm not loving them if I let them pass by without hearing something.
Amen. I agree 100%. And Father, we just lift up Daniel's health to you.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up his stomach. Everybody that's listening that has stomach issues, God, you're the healer of our bodies. And so may you reach out. Touch his body. Bring about a healing. Thank you that they figured out what was going on. But, Lord, a lot of times in those years, we have a lot of damage. And so we just ask you for a miraculous healing in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Daniel, our prayers are with you.
Thank you so much. Yep, they found a hernia there, and they just did surgery on it. It's been there for 32 years. I knew it was there, but they never found it until it stuck way out. And then they said, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's really funny sometimes what they'll miss I guess that's why they call it a practice, because they haven't got it perfect yet. But something that I found, this is just a free little caveat here. You can take it or leave it. I'm not a doctor, but I know it made a difference in my life. I stay away from any processed meat that has sodium nitrate in it. It is not good. And, it is, what they put in meat, and whatever it does to the meat does to your gizzard. And so I always look at the labels. Does it have sodium nitrate? And you'd be surprised that it's in hot dogs, salami, processed meats, jerky, all these kinds of things. And when I see that ingredient, I run like the wind. Now, you can get, if you like those little beef sticks, they have nitrate-free sticks, and that's what you want to get. But boy, if I see sodium nitrate, I run the other way because, well, I just know how bad it affects me, and I just want to warn everybody else. Hope that helps. Daniel, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Daniel. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Deanna. Carthage, Missouri. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question about, Trump trying to release these alien UFO files. And I was listening to this other guy preaching, and he was talking about he was saying about the rapture, that he didn't believe in the rapture, basically, that he thought, Jesus only is going to come twice, this once in his flesh and once in the and then tribulation. Well, then I remember listening to Chuck Missler years ago, and I remember him mentioning about the rapture and about the aliens are going to be probably the excuse for the rapture. So I'm just kind of want to figure out, the rapture, when do you think it might be, before or during tribulation or what?
Well, I believe it's before, because the Bible says God's not appointed his children to wrath. We're his bride. And it's very clear when you read Revelation that the tribulation period is God's judgment on a Christ-rejecting world. Number two, you never find the church mentioned one time on this earth after chapter 3. They're found in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. And then when we come back to rule and reign with Christ at the very end of the tribulation. But you never find the church mentioned. You'll find saints, which I believe are the people that get saved during the tribulation. And you'll find the elect, which I believe are the Jewish people that understand Jesus is Messiah. But you never find the church. Yet the church is mentioned almost every page from the book of Acts on, whether it's be kind to one another, being tenderhearted, forgiving one another, taking up collections for other people to help them. You find all the way through the camaraderie of the fellowship of the saints. You don't find that in Revelation. You don't find the church mentioned. I think that's extremely important and a real blunder for those that believe the church goes through the tribulation because it's not mentioned. Now, God's never without a witness. You have the 144,000 Jews. The Bible clearly tells us who they are. They're from the 12 tribes of Israel, list the tribes by name so nobody can mess it up, yet they still do. It's amazing. You have the angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people not to take the mark of the beast. And you have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem also warning the world. Where's the church? It's not here. That's why those are there. Now, again, I think it's very clear when you understand what the Bible says about this. 35 years or maybe a little bit more than that ago, there was a movie called Close Encounters of the Third Kind about aliens and spaceships. But the very end of the movie showed the alien spacecraft abducting people from Earth. I believe that thought was sown into people's minds. And you'll hear about it. Oh, I was abducted and I was probed and I was this and I. Well, you know what? I don't believe it. I do believe people's imaginations are real. I do believe they go through a lot of things. I do believe Satan can transform himself into an angel of light or, for that matter, anything else that will deceive people. And the world is going to be misled on what happened to all the Christians. Did the UFOs get them? Or in the New Age kind of mentality, the earth has purged itself of the undesirables. Maybe it'll be a message that now the world must unite to keep this from happening again. I don't know, but the Bible says a strong delusion is sent on the people that they believe a lie. You know, you want to play in lies, you want to live your life in a lie. Don't be surprised when you believe one, because you see, again, when you reject truth, anything is believable. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so when we look at that verse, we realize that in that verse, categorically, Jesus said, all the religions of the world are bogus. What? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Wow. Joining a church ain't going to do anything for you. Being perfect attendance not going to do anything for you. Giving all your money ain't going to do anything for you. Wearing a suit and tie every Sunday, that's not going to do anything for you. It's only through Jesus, our attorney, our ambassador, our go-between, that great sacrifice, his blood was shed for us. That's what makes the difference. Deanna, your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and I think it's important, Deanna, just great question, to recognize there's a difference from Christ coming back and returning to Jerusalem, where the War of Armageddon takes place, and then after that, there's a millennial reign of Christ from 1,000 years, and us believers and the church being caught up, that those are two different events. You know, we get the word rapture from the Latin word caught up. And so the picture here is the church is returning to Christ. And then, of course, his second coming here to earth is at the end of tribulation during the War of Armageddon. But it is interesting, as you've mentioned, Trump releasing these different videos and files on these, I don't know the new name they call them, but UFOs. We can see these pictures and videos of UFOs. And, you know, it's kind of just curious to know, what is this? Because I really think there could be three explanations for what we're seeing. One is maybe these are military crafts from either our own military or other militaries that we just don't know the technology of yet. You know, during the time of America testing out stealth bombers. They were flying over certain areas and people reporting that they were seeing UFOs, but it was actually military craft they were seeing. So that's one option. The second option is God has created a big universe with many planets and cosmos and many of galaxies. And so is there a possibility that there's life somewhere else? There could be. The Bible doesn't say if there is or isn't, so there is that chance. But then the third exclamation for what we're seeing is this could be actually either angelic or demonic things that people are seeing. You know, it's deception. Interesting. Yeah, deception. You know, it's interesting as you read through the Bible, like in Ezekiel, he's given a vision in heaven and he sees, as he describes, a wheel spinning within a wheel with lights coming out of it. Well, that sounds like a UFO. You see that Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. Well, if no one knew what they were seeing, they would probably describe that as a UFO. And so could it be that during the rapture and during the time of tribulation, that the way that Antichrist unites the world is by saying all these people who have vanished and disappeared were abducted by UFOs, and now we as a world have to unite to fight against these alien forces. It could be a possibility. This might be one way that the Antichrist is able to bring unity. We don't know, but as Pastor Mike mentioned, there is a great deception, and there is a possibility that this is the deception that happens, that the Antichrist uses to bring unity here on earth. Pastor Mike?
They asked Trump, and I saw the interview today, they asked him, do you believe in extraterrestrials? And he said, no. So I thought that was kind of an interesting statement coming from the president. Now, that's not to say that there's not demonic forces here. That's not to say that there is not. But as far as coming from, you know, Betelgeuse or some other, solar system or whatever, I don't believe that either. I think the logic involved in the laws of thermodynamics, I think, make it pretty impossible. If you're burning fossil fuel or you're doing something, you've got to get energy to do something. And to travel those kinds of distances, you're going to need, you'd have to have a freight train for the fuel to travel clear across the universe. I believe that, again, in a lot of these sightings, the light will appear here and then it'll vanish and peer over here and then shoot across and back. I that really is describing something I believe in the spiritual world. Deanna, I hope that helps.
Yes, I appreciate it. I remember listening to Chuck Missler. I mean, I was reading one of his books years ago, and I remember he was kind of that they were probably using the aliens as an excuse to, what, like you mentioned, that, you know, the...
Where'd everybody go?
Yeah.
No, I know, Deanna, and there's a lot of talk about it. Now, you got to remember, I believe that the rapture is closer now than it's ever been before, and it doesn't surprise me at all. And whenever I hear a lot of alien talk, I begin to think, wow, Lord, you know, are you setting the world up for to believe a lie? Or maybe I should say the underworld is. Like I say, you reject the truth, you're wide open for any lie that comes along. Hope that helps, dear.
Okay, thank you so very much.
God bless, Deanna. If you've got any more questions, call us. Angie, Napa, Idaho. How can we help?
Hi. I don't even really know how to ask you this question, but just to give you a tiny bit of a background, I was LDS, and then I got baptized Christian, and then I met an atheist, and then so I kind of encountered from there a lot of, like, I don't know if you want to call it aliens, demons, paranormal type activities.
Sure.
It's real. I never really talked. What'd you say?
I said it's real.
Okay.
Demons are real.
So
what they do, yep.
What I'm trying to get at, though, is how would that still be following me all the way back into my home?
Well, I believe that, you know, the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. So by the very statement in the Bible, it tells us that there is some kind of a warfare that's going on in the spiritual world. Paul says we don't battle against what we see, but against demonic demons and spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes it's to discourage us. Sometimes it's to fool us. That's why the Bible says we bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Because our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions can lie to us. So that's why I need to balance what am I experiencing? What do I think I'm experiencing? God, is this real? Is this an illusion? Is this demonic forces? Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, and this is a great question, you know, because I think there's two problems that people will have. One is they can blame everything that goes wrong in their life on the enemy. And so just every problem, that's the enemy, it's spiritual warfare. The other side of that is people realize that, or they don't realize that there is real spiritual warfare that takes place in our lives. It's interesting in the life of Daniel, it says that for 21 days he's fasting and praying. And then after 21 days, the angel appears to him and says, while you were praying, there was this spiritual warfare going on. And so that's very real. And I believe that some people, Angie, can be more sensitive to that. You know, it's important to know for us as believers, the enemy cannot possess us. That as we get saved, God fills us with his Holy Spirit. And so demons cannot possess us, but they will still attack us. The enemy will still attack. We even see this in Jesus's life as he's out in the wilderness during a time of weakness because he's hungry and fasting, that the enemy begins attacking him. And each time the enemy attacks, the way Jesus responds is, it is written. And so he always goes to the word of God to fight these attacks. And I believe this is a picture of what can happen in our life, that the enemy is going to want to attack. And we have his word. We have prayer. We have fellowship with other believers to help us fight off those attacks of the enemy. It's also interesting to note that right after Jesus is attacked in the wilderness three times, temptation is presented to him. And each time he says, it is written. When the devil flees, it's right after that moment that he enters into ministry. His ministry starts and he does his first miracle. And so I think sometimes the enemy will recognize God's call on our life, and he's doing everything he can to try to stop that. And so I don't know, maybe that's taking place in your life, Angie, that God has a call on your life and you're getting ready to enter into something that he's planned and prepared for you. And so the enemy is there trying to stop that. Pastor Mike, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and so I just really believe that anything that tries to cause doubt in our life, anything that tries to take you away from the peace of God, these are attacks of the enemy. And we have to be aware that sometimes it can come through thoughts, it can come through people, it can come through ideas, it can come through the internet, it can come through the suggestions on the songs on the radio or television programs. I believe that we're receptors. And we need to be aware that in that ability to receive, there's things in the natural world, there's things in the spiritual world, and in that spiritual world, there is things from God and there's things from the underworld. And so I believe this is, again, as I mentioned earlier, why we bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. What would God want me to do? And so, yes, dear, spiritual warfare is real, and we need to be aware of it. Some days, sometimes in our life, it'll be more intense than others. But believe me, it is real. And this is why, again, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Angie, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I just have one more thing to ask you real quick.
Okay.
Because, like, if you're a believer and you've committed murder and you've kept it a secret, is that something you confess or you just take it to the Lord?
Joe, your thoughts.
I believe that in James, it says that we should confess our sins to one another. And so a true sign of repentance, I believe, is confession. You know, the idea of confession in that passage in James is that when we do something that hurts someone else, that this is where confession brings forgiveness in our lives. Now, if I do something that's just a hurting the Lord, that's one thing I can take to him. But when my sins affect or have an impact on others, I believe that's something we should seek forgiveness for. You know, Jesus says in the New Testament that if you're at the altar and then you recognize that someone has something against you, to leave your gift on the altar and go make that right first. And so I believe we have that responsibility, whether it's the family that's hurt or, you know, others that are involved in the situation, that we have the responsibility to make things right with them. And that shows true repentance in our life. Pastor Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps, Angie.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you. And we'll be praying for you. And if you get any more questions, we're here for you. We always love to answer everybody's questions. Let's go to Lynn in Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Hey, I want to thank y'all for your program. I just love it. I listen to it all the time. But my question is about child custody cases. And, you know, I know the Bible talks about not having, don't file lawsuits against each other and try to work it out. But I haven't found any verses about children that regard. Just quickly, I'll say I'm calling for my son. He met a girl a while back. It's and then they, you know, got in a relationship and she got pregnant and they went ahead and got married and he didn't know a whole lot about her. We ended up finding out she had three other children by three other men. And yeah, and when the child was born, she immediately, as soon as possible, was pregnant again. So he had two children with her. But as the third, when the second child was born, she started having an affair with another man and got pregnant by that man. And so the divorce went through. They got equal rights, you know, like equal, they each have joint custody. But this has been several, you know, a few years ago. The first child is 12 now. She's, it's just this pattern has continued. And, you know, we take her to church. I spent a lot of time with her. I took her to church, you know, all the time. I talked to her about, you know, the Lord, and she says all the right things, but she never changes, shows any repentance. She doesn't think she's doing anything wrong.
That's the mom here, or is this the 12-year-old?
The mom.
Yeah. No, of course, people that are in sin, they don't acknowledge that. And I believe that a person like your son probably needs to do whatever he can do to protect those kids, to make sure that they're going to have a normal home. It sounds by the very things that you've described that this woman is very irresponsible, and this doesn't go well in state custody cases. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and of course the goal is always to pursue peace in the child's life and even in the relationship between mom and dad. A child needs mom and dad both involved. But again, the child's welfare is most important. And so I think seeking legal help is not unspiritual in a case like this, because again, the priority is the child's welfare. At the same time, I believe even if the mom or if a father is an unbeliever, there's still a role they can play in the child's life. And so you wouldn't want to totally cut that off. But as the child is with your son, just making sure he's pouring in Christian values and God's word into their life. And the Bible promises us if we raise a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. And so that's an influence that the son can still have as he has time with his children. Pastor Mike?
Lynn, I hope that helps.
Right, it does, and that's what that's what we're focused on. He's just yeah, real reluctant to actually file anything on her. But well,
you got to do something to protect your kids, though. You got to do something.
What I agree with as well.
Yeah, well, it's got to be his decision too. But that is something that you've got to look at and to protect the kids. And to be in an environment where she's having babies with anybody that walks by, that doesn't sound real good. So I think that, you know, your children are worth fighting for, dear. Lynn, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Lynn. Charles, we don't have time to get to you today. Part of your question, is it a good idea to read the Book of Enoch? I would say no. It is not scripture. It is actually a bogus book. It didn't come on the scene till 800 BC, and it was not written by Enoch. And so there's a lot of problems with that particular book. It was never taken out of our Bible. There's some different groups in Ethiopia that add these other books too, which were taken out because they were fraud. If you need more Charles calls, we'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Joe, for being on.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.